to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the show? All you got to do is hit me up on the text line. Still to come, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. That's in about an hour. So please stick around for that. But joining us now, he's a candidate in AL1. The vote's on Tuesday. So we're going to get like one more kind of last round here with some of the candidates. But Jerry Carl, former congressman here in the 1st Congressional District, joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for hopping on. I was thinking about this, and, man, you took some heat for this, and you know, early. When we were, like, kind of starting to do kind of a critical analysis of Dr. Anthony Fauci and some of the advice he was given, the guidance he was given to both administrations, the Trump and the Biden administration, and you're very skeptical of it, and you were asking questions about, you know, what was motivating some of this. And you know, here we are today, and we think we know a little bit more about what happened there, but do you feel like you were onto something at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I've used common sense. I mean, I've been a businessman my whole life, so when something comes up, I always look at it from a business standpoint. How can we make money on it? How can we increase it? I mean, the standard questions that a businessman would look at it. But with Fauci, you know, it was more in my mind of why. You know, why would he be doing this? He's in a position that he's supposed to take care of us and provide security to our healthcare industry by giving advice. But, you know, it took me back to financially, and I still say that, and I think I've got a remedy for it too. But financially, why was he doing some of this stuff? I think he made a tremendous amount of money off of it. I think I'll give you one simple example: 3M mask. Do you remember when he came out on a Wednesday? I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. He said the only masks that really work are these 3M masks. That was it. Now, what I want to know is how much 3M stock he had bought the week before or days before. You know, he actually came out and said that. Now, we, as private citizens, we, you know, what we invest in and what we buy is our private, that's our own private business. As an elected official, it's not. We have to disclose all of that, and that's fine. But as an individual, he has the right to do that and not disclose that. I think the state attorney generals in some of these states need to sit down and look very closely on what violations that, from a state standpoint, that they can pull him into a court and get access to his financial information. I think that will answer a lot of questions. And that was my stance then. That is my stance now. It is a financially motivated conversation that he was having every day, and he led us down that trail. Now, he's got a pardon from Biden. There's not much we can do on a federal level. As much as we want to do, all we can do is publicly shame him, and that's what they did in Congress. But I think on a state level, if we can get our attorney generals to do a deep dive into, you know, how he hurt us as a state or as a city, and there's, in my mind, there's plenty to go after, and actually get access again to his financials. That's where we can get a little bit of skin back, because he certainly skinned us all up. I took office in the middle of the pandemic, and as an elected official, it was complete confusion. I mean, we had to, I don't know how to put it into words, but I'm excited the fact of going back and actually having a friendly president in office. And, you know, I can deal with the business. I can't deal with that healthcare scare. I don't think this country will go through it again. You know, the next one may be for real, but I don't think we're going to line up and follow that train of thought anymore.
No, and that's important. And I said this earlier, like, we have a real trust deficit. And the next pandemic, let's assume it's worse. I mean, you know, who knows? But we know it's possible. then people are going to shrug it off. I think it's sort of like this hurricane season, and people evacuate. And then after a while, I'm just going to ride it out. I think you're going to have that mentality here, even though we're 6 years or 5 years removed from the height of it. You have a real, you still have this distrust deficit you got to overcome.
And I believe that's going to be around definitely for the next 20 plus years. But,
you know, everyone's doubting the federal government as a whole. And I don't blame them. I think we should always question the federal government and what they do. Being on the inside looking out, I think sometimes some of the things that we focus on, you know, a particular vote, for example, you know, you get hammered if you make the wrong vote. You know, the thousands of votes that any elected official makes, they're apt to make a mistake. It's just going to happen. You know, don't throw them under the bus because of one vote. And I'm not talking about just myself, but just elected officials in general, because we are human. We do make mistakes. Hopefully we learn from it. But you know, I'm excited again. We've got an election Tuesday, and Lord knows we need some people to turn out and vote. We're looking for a very, very low vote turnout. Most of the folks that should know are talking around 5%. Think about that. You're going to allow 5% of the population to decide who your next congressman is going to be to represent you in Washington. That's embarrassing. And that will be the story. You know, he won by 5% on this, and that's going to be an embarrassing story.
What one more on the COVID thing, and then we'll talk election. But the gain of function research and that angle of it, that maybe Fauci wasn't upfront. Was that something that was on your radar?
You know, I always question. I've grown up in the healthcare field, and I understand healthcare is fashionable. So I'm always questioning it. Science will always try to stay ahead, but sometimes it gets behind. You know, we all knew where it came from. Nobody wanted to talk about it. You know, it's like it's going to be the Third World War if we talked about it being truly from China and being used as a tool of war. Well, I don't think it was. I think it was our money. Financing, obviously, the lab over there, and it leaked out. I think that's the true story there. And of course, Fauci's trying to hide from that. But I don't think when it started, any of us had any idea what was going on. And, you know, they're blaming bats and, you know, all the stories that were coming out. You know, I remember HIV when it first started. In HIV, everybody was talking about it being monkey related, you know. So, and that was where my mind was at, but I had no idea. I don't think anybody had any idea that the roots run this deep is what we're looking at today.
Well, and, you know, that's the other one more quick thing here. I never thought China really got any sort of punishment or, you know, they never paid a penance for this. And we were very, very reluctant to point the finger at them. What was the reason for that? Why didn't they face some kind of sanctioning or something? And everybody was, oh, no, you can't. That's anti-Chinese. You can't be that way. That's racist or whatever, xenophobic or whatever.
Well, at this point, China's our biggest biggest enemy, maybe not military-wise, but definitely when you start talking about information, you start talking about production, manufacturing. So we're being very sensitive towards that. I've never been a China fan. I never will be. I've got my own personal beliefs about China. I think China's going to do everything they can do to destroy, you know, our republic. That's what they're truly about. I mean, they're about communism. You look at what's being stirred up in New York and California with a new Democrat communist social party. I mean, that's all got to be, you know, it's driven by money out of China. I mean, there's so many things, you know, that most people think, you know, they hear these things, they say, oh, that's just a, you know, that's just his opinion. I don't believe that. You know, those of us that are in the loop, you know, when we say some things, I mean, I'm not one to chase after a conspiracy. It's just not in my personality. So I usually do a lot of research as much as I can on an issue before I give it my opinion. And it doesn't make me right. I'm just saying I do more than jump on social media and try to push stuff. But with this one, what Fauci should have done is stepped up front and said, we financed this. It happened in China. It's our fault as Americans. But it would have, I'm not going to add any, I shouldn't say this, but, you know, I'm sure they're probably looking at, oh, my gosh, you know, what's it going to cost us in lawsuits? And Fauci, knowing Fauci now, as we know him, he's such a narcissist. You know, he would have, it would have been all about his reputation, you know, as it goes down in history. And I think his reputation going down in history is going to be horrible. And I don't think it's through yet. Most people don't know he lives on a 50-acre farm, literally in the suburbs of D.C. I have no idea what a place like that costs. It is very expensive, very expensive.
Joined by Jerry Carl here. He's a candidate in the 1st Congressional District. The vote's on Tuesday. Congressman, let's talk about the election and low turnout anticipated. But, you know, the game plan, I haven't seen any. I wouldn't trust any of the polling anyway if there are some polls. But there's just no way of knowing what to expect and what is believed to be going to be a low turnout event.
Yeah, well, you know, our race, I haven't polled it, and I don't think the other two candidates have polled it either. It is what it is, and we've got to keep pushing. It's at this point, it's all about turning our people out to vote. You know, Mobile, Baldwin County. Mobile County, please listen. If you live in Mobile County, you can vote in this election, period. It is the entire county, same with Baldwin County, same with Scambia County, and about 95% of Covington County. So we need folks to get out and vote. We're looking at a 5% vote turnout. That's embarrassing. And we have spent a lot of time as candidates, spent a lot of time and a lot of money reaching out to our base, encouraging people to get out and vote, encouraging people to reach out and touch other people to vote. I mean, this morning I was at a golf tournament. You know, they teed off at 8 o'clock and I get there at 7 o'clock just to work the crowd, just to, you know, encourage them to get out and vote, make sure they know there's an election going on. I would say 50% of the people in your listening area do not know there's an election next week. And I have spent a tremendous amount of money to get that message out. So I hope we do better than 5%. If we do 10%, it will be great. It's a different situation in the other districts. Let me rephrase that. In District 2, It's a little bit different there because you've got so many candidates involved there that are spending money to get voters out. They should have a higher turnout than ours purely because they've spent so much money as six or seven different candidates. So, but we're excited what we're seeing, but no polling done. I've seen some polling up in District 2, but Jeff, I've got to where I don't trust polls. I mean, whoever paid for the poll to be run, it's almost like they pay for it to be in their favor, and I just don't trust them anymore.
Yeah, you were down how many points in some of those polls in that May 19th primary?
We wound up winning it. We won it outright, not overall, but in a runoff situation, we would have been in great shape.
I mean, that's something. And then, you know, this was true in the statewide races. You know, the polling in the state, even if it's not pay to play, it's just objectively it's bad that the pollsters don't have the science down.
Well, they always try to make it leaning towards the person that ordered the poll because they need a second poll ran. I get it. I've been in business my whole life. I mean, you're trying to serve a customer there. But in reality, our last poll that we ran, and we had a D.C. Polling group, it cost us $18,000 for that poll, talking about the May election. They were within 1 point. So we had a good idea, and we ran that. Obviously, the election didn't count, and we'd already ran the poll, but we knew about where we were, and I felt comfortable with that. You want to believe what they give you. And they were within 1 point. So I just don't trust polls anymore. You know, and people like, you know, voting for me, they're going, oh, Jerry doesn't need our vote. He's got this. No, he doesn't need my vote. My gosh, that is the last thing I want to hear. Please, folks, vote. Please vote. I need every vote we can get. Every candidate does, for that matter. And I believe it's, you know, our constitutional obligation to get out and vote. Again, you let 5% of the population in District 1, determine who the next congressman's going to be, and that's basically what's going to happen. I mean, that's 15,000 people that are going to vote. Out of 770,000 constituents, only 15,000 are going to make that decision. There's just something wrong with that in my mind.
Congressman, folks want to find out more about your efforts or, you know, anything else they need to know, tell them where to look.
Oh, jerrycarl.com. I'd appreciate everybody getting out and vote, Jeff. I certainly appreciate you giving all of us candidates time. Jeff, I have decided when I come back, I'm going to come back as one of your children, because we're all living through your children. You're the greatest father I have ever seen. So congratulations, Dad. You did a great job. And by the way, next time you leave me a contact number for you, because I'm tired of people calling and texting me wanting to know when you're going to be back.
Well, you're very kind to say that. We got to get out of here. Congressman, thanks. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey! Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers. People, get out.